Hello and welcome to A Voice of a People live here with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. How are you doing out there today? It is a beautiful day. We still have tons of snow, but it's melting little by little. So glad that you had time to tune into the show today. I'm live right now on www.wwgh1071.com, and I'm live right now on that TuneIn app, which you can download on any electronic device. And when you do, please put in your search bar WWGH. I'm live right now in the studio if you would like to be a part of my show today. If it's your first time, I pray it's not your last time. And not only that, if you are a faithful listener and supporter, thank you so very much for your love, for your support, and for your dedication to the show. I thank you so much, each and every one of you, and I pray that I can give you and continue to give you a show worth listening to. Along with you faithful listeners and possibly first-time listeners, is Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, of 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio. Also, Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street in Marion, Ohio. That number is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement. Free produce every third Saturday of every month will begin in April of 2026. And it's usually on a Saturday from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Also, we had been asking people to pray for one another, whom you may know who is in need of prayer. Maybe they are, a loved one or loss of life, and just praying for one another and continue to keep me in your prayers. I had some conditions going on in my body, but I'm finding a lot more about my body as I go back and forth to the doctors, like where salt is concerned and where sugar is concerned. And I'm still asking people to pray for me, and I intend to take control over my situation. That mean make it better. That mean be disciplining myself. And you know, the older you get, the more you need to do those things. And even when you're young, you know, even young people get high blood pressure, diabetes, you know, kidney disorders and liver disorders. So we need to be more mindful of our health of 2026 and do something about it, right? Right. Okay. And as we're talking about prayer, I'm just like everybody else. Possibly, let's pray for Savannah Guthrie's mother, safe return. I mean, this is such a crazy, crazy thing that's going on. I mean, I can't wrap my mind around that. I can't understand what's going on. I can't understand how the law enforcement went about this and why they didn't do all those searching and things like that until the last minute. Well, oh my gosh, how much was missed? How much evidence was missed and disregarded? I don't know. It's like they're planting little clues. Well, here's a clue here. Here's a glove for you guys to concentrate on. It's just really bizarre. But let us remember to keep not only Samantha Guthrie's family in prayer, but let us keep our nation in prayer, our president and those around them in prayer, so that they, you know, that they would use godly wisdom and not man wisdom to rule and reign and govern a whole nation of people or nations. Let's pray for our city governments, you know, that they would do the same, our teachers and our administrators throughout our cities and our states and our nation. We are should not be the type of people that don't know anything about prayer or don't believe in prayer. I would want to hope, I would not want to think that you didn't know about prayer or how to pray or, you know, how to reverence our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And maybe some do, maybe some don't. But, you know, because I know we don't all have the same beliefs. We don't have the same confidence and trust placed in Jesus Christ. You know, but if you do, please remember to pray. Okay, now we're moving right along. I thought I had my glasses with me, but I'm not even sure if I do or not. But we are in the month of February, and guess what? Saturday, we will be experiencing or celebrating Valentine's Day. Wow. I tell you, I went to Kroger's yesterday, and boy, it looked like a Valentine Wonderland. There were balloons and all type of different figures around there, like for cartoon characters and stuff, and many, many heart-shaped balloons and tons and tons and tons of flowers and plants. When you walked into Kroger's, I'm like, oh my gosh, look at Valentine's Day. I never saw it so blown up like it is today, right? So this Saturday is Valentine's Day, and hopefully it'll be a good one and a great one for all of us who live to see it. And I say that respectfully. I say that also in awe of God and who He is, and Him being the, how can I say it? He governs our life and our coming here and our leaving here. So as long as we are in the land of the living, that's why I say, if the Lord bless and say the same, we will experience Valentine's Day. And your loved ones, isn't that a beautiful time and a lovely time to pray for one another? Absolutely. And don't ever forget that. We have our children, our grandchildren, our great-grands, our nieces and nephews. We have siblings. We have mothers and fathers. There's just so much to be thankful for in our day that we live in. Okay, so I will look up a thought for today. Just going back to my papers here. I think I wasn't here last week because I didn't feel good. Dealing with health issues, right? Okay, let me go with thought for today. Just give me a second here. I was on my way to the show and had to go all the way home and take my medicine, right? I forgot it. I was almost halfway here and had to turn the car around and run back. So just bear with me just a minute here. Thought for today. This thought says spiritual change skill. Wow. That kind of may be on the same vein that I was coming from earlier. There is nothing more certain than that the world will continue to change. Accepting and not resisting this is the first and most important inner skill in this frenetically changing modern world. Life tests us every day to see how well we have developed this ability. Equally, there is nothing more real than the inner space within each of us that never ever changes. We may change our thoughts, we may change our feelings, even our sense of who we are, but we fail to visit the unchanging center of our own self. The ability to be in this inner space where our peace is found, when all around you prefer chaos and crisis, is the deepest spiritual change skill. It is the eye of the storm. It is the oasis in the desert. It is the place where peace is power. Call in today. You'll be surprised how much it can influence and change everything and everyone around you. That inner peace is what they're talking about. That inner spirit which is within you. And that is the essence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because He is a spirit, and in us dwells His spirit. Whether you believe in Him or whether you don't, you cannot exist on your own. Because if He was to take His spirit from you, you would fall dead. You are not. I know some people don't believe in that. They don't believe there is a God or that God has any control over them. They make up their own mind. They go their own way. But He's allowing you to do that. He's allowing you to do that. Your life is still in His hands. You don't have to acknowledge it. It doesn't make a difference whether you do or not. Acknowledge Him. Or acknowledge the mere concept that there is a God out there who loves you and gave Himself for you, that one day you might receive Him and receive the fact that He is real, and that you could be with Him one day forever, forever in peace and in love. But how befitting was that thought for today? It's beautiful. That inner peace, that inner self, that breath of life that God has given us is Him Himself. And we can't forget to call on Him. We can't forget to trust in Him. We can't forget to acknowledge Him who has led us each and every day, make sure that we have what we need. Everyone does not have what they need. And if you have food, clothing, shelter, a little bit of money, you don't even need a lot, just a little bit to make it in, to make your day, that you're not out there asking or begging someone else for something, you are blessed. You're blessed to even be alive. Even if you don't have, you're blessed to be in the land of the living. You might not look at it as a blessing because you don't have certain things in your life or, you know, and I've seen many people on the street corners begging. But if they did not have that inner spirit, life, presence in them, they would not even be able to be out on the corners asking for alms, asking for help, asking for money, a way to live just one day at a time. And that's all any of us can ask for, is one day at a time, 1 second at a time, 1 minute at a time, 1 moment at a time, 1 hour at a time, 1 day at a time. That's all we can ask for. Because we can't see beyond right now. We may have plans for beyond right now, but we can't see them come to fruition from where we are. We just cannot see that. But we know, we trust that we will be able to see it. We will be able to get up and go to the grocery store and get what we need to, say, I want to cook homemade vegetable soup, right? I trust, I depend on the Lord that I can get up from here when I'm finished with the show and go to the store and get the ingredients I need to go home to make my soup. I trust Him, and even travel, getting in my car and going somewhere, I trust Him to take me safely without any hurt, harm, or danger. Not only me, but those around me, like cars around me, that no one runs into me, that I run into no one. So many things to be thankful for today. So many things to be thankful for today. In every situation, we should give thanks in it. Whether it's not what we expect it to be, it may even be a bad experience. And we're not being thankful for the bad experience. And maybe later on down the road, you know, you can see that if this bad experience had not happened to you, you would not be the person that you are. That it turned you into, or helped you to become, or to help you to evolve. So even bad things come to help shape us and mold us into this person that Christ has intended us to be. And this is how we live our life. This is how we should be give thanks in it, because we don't know the result of it later on down the line, later on down the road. You know? And that's kind of like how I try to be, want to be, intentionally, is my intent to be more thankful, to be more mindful, to be more loving, to be more awe-inspired of God, in awe of Him, in His greatness, in His majestic being, omniscience, multifarious here and there and everywhere, and omnipotent God, you know, which, no, we can't touch Him, we can't see Him, but we believe that He exists. Why do we believe in something we can't touch or see? Why do we do that? Why is that even possible? How is that possible? You ever thought about that? How and why do we believe in a God we can't see and we can't touch? Well, I can think of a couple things, and one of those things is, He left His word for us, which is the Bible. He left that for us to tell us His story. And it includes us from cover to cover, from the beginning of time to the ending of times. What they consider the end of days, the end of the era, you know. He left that for us. And if you've gone through the Bible and if you read through the Bible, that you understand that, or believe those words that were written. Do you believe those words that were written? Or do you give credit to man for the theology, the wisdom, the foresight in the future? Because people say, oh, man wrote that Bible. Do we give man the credit for being able to see the future, like thousands and thousands and thousands of years from the beginning of time? What would happen? How would they know? They don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow or later on tonight. But I've heard people bank on it. I'll put all my money on it. Man wrote that Bible. But see, God did use man to write that Bible. He inspired them. You know, I tell people this sometimes, that, you know, I was a stenographer, a secretary, which they don't have that anymore, I don't think, you know. And I worked at the former Marion Power Shovel on the third floor in the erection department. They went out in the field to erect drag lines, shovels, and drills, right? And I was in-house, and my boss, and I had about four guys in the office, and I had like 18 or 20 guys out in the field that I had to service. Like, you know, make sure they get their monies and their hotel reservations and things like that, and their air flights. You know, I did all that for them. But when my boss needed me to write a letter, he would call me in there, and I would take my tablet and my pen, and I'd sit there, and he would dictate to me what he wanted written. He would do that. He would dictate to me what he wanted written. And I had to write it down there and read it back to him verbatim, what he said. Then I went and I typed it up and I let him proofread it again and sign, put his signature on it. What makes you think that God is not capable of doing the same with mankind? What makes you think that? Because God is able. And He did do it that way. He did dictate to them exactly what He wanted. According to His scriptures, He says, to Timothy 3:16. Okay. like I said, if you believe it or not, you don't really have to. Okay, here we go. All scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Yeah. So, that's what it says. So he doesn't mind, you know, taking credit for it. God breathed. Just like God breathes into you. You know, sometimes we can be having a conversation with somebody and we can come up with something like, wow, where'd I get that from? God inspired. God breathed. Some things I know, well, I did not come up with on my own. You know, oh, thank you, Lord, for that. You know, thank you for telling me that. Thank you for leading me this way or guiding me this way. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So, this is the beginning of how you can believe in a God that you can't see and that you can't touch, right? Okay, so that was New International Version, which I'd rather do Amplified Version for you. Let me see if I can get that. Because sometimes, you know, Amplified just gives you a fresher, more intense version or clarification of that same scripture. It doesn't take anything away from it, but it does amplify it. Okay. Let me see if it's any different from what I just read. Okay. Okay. It does. A little better. All scripture is God breathed, given by divine inspiration, and is profitable for instruction, for conviction of sin, for correction of error, and restoration to obedience, for training in righteousness, learning to live in conformity to God's will, both publicly and privately, behaving honorably with personal integrity and moral courage. The scriptures equips us and trains us in how to live through this life, all the days of our personal lives, by leaning and learning to live in conformity to God's will. And how do you find out God's will? In the scriptures. This is how we find out God's will. In the scriptures, as we read and understand, they are God. These words are God breathed. God breathed. Okay? Not man. Breathed. Man can't change any situation. Well, God gives us power too. Like I said, when I started out about my health, learning how to eat better and different things, you know. But, you know, at one time I was, but then I kind of crept back into those old habits, but they have not been fruitful for me. Matter of fact, the opposite. To the point where I didn't feel good. And you know, so that's not profitable for me. So God has given me the power to change that. Go back to where you were, you know, and that's what my intentions to be. But to follow God, know God, learn of God, we do that through the scriptures, trusting that God left this for us. I cannot believe for one moment that man left that for me, when he has no power to change one meaning, one verse, one word into what he wants it to mean. I believe that God wrote that word for me. I believe that God exists. I have to close my door. Scott left it open. Could you bear with me just one moment? Okay, I'm back. I heard a bunch of noise, people coming in to their studio, and I'm like, okay, I can't do this because I'm on the air. So, but isn't that so powerful? All scriptures God breathed, given by divine inspiration, and it is profitable for instruction. It profits you. It doesn't take away from you. It profits you. It's an asset to you. Right? Right. For conviction of sin, number one. To know when I've done wrong. And my heart and the word of God helps to convict my heart. That I know is wrong. And I can say, oh, Lord, forgive me. Help me not to do that again. But it is to help you know what is wrong. How would you know what is wrong and what is right? Other than you have a conscience. And God also works through our conscience. Okay? Or correction. Yes, help me to correct what is wrong and what I have done wrong. Of error and restoration to obedience. Okay. Restore me back to obedience. Restore me, Lord. Through your word, we can have restoration. Everything we need is in God's word. Everything. Learning to live in conformity to God's will. Both publicly, when you're out in public, you know, you don't put on this facade like you're one person in public and behind closed doors, you're another person. Be in conformity. Be who you are all the time. Who God has shaped and molded you into. And behave honorably, not dishonorably. Respect those around you. Number one, respect yourself. If you don't respect yourself, that's because you're not reading God's word. You're not being led by the Spirit. You're not being led by our one and only living God. Okay? With personal integrity. Do you have personal integrity? Which is not this big high esteem that you're better than everybody else and you can just do what you want and just get away with it. No, personal integrity. That you're not ashamed to be in public. You're not ashamed to go out and be around other people. That you're not ashamed of that, right? And moral courage. Courage. Moral courage. What do they mean by that? Let me see what that means. Moral courage, morality. Okay, immorality. Moral courage has to be, I'm going to look it up. Moral courage. Okay, what is that? Okay. I'm going to look that up and talk to you about that. Okay, moral courage. But in the meantime, I'm getting ready to share this with someone I know could use that scripture. Absolutely. Do you share scriptures with other people that you may know that may be struggling in certain areas of their lives? Well, we should be more mindful of them and help them out sometimes. Send them words of encouragement. Because mostly everybody on their phone all the time. It's like, it's a growing habit. It's like, oh my gosh, can we stop? Day in, day out. Some people can't even sleep all night. They got to get up and go to their phone and check this and check that. It is something else. It really is. All right, I like that too. Now, I'm going to go to 2 Timothy. No, we're going to go to 1 Timothy. :3:16. We're going to talk about that in a minute. These are two. Two scriptures. Can I get that one in there? Okay, let's try one. That gonna work for me? All right, here we go.
All right.
1 Timothy 3:16, Amplified Version. And great and important and weighty, we confess in the hidden truth, the mystic secret of godliness. He, God, was made visible in human flesh. We read about Jesus Christ all the time and how he was born of a woman. He came here as a babe. This scripture speaks to that. That this is how he came to be in our world. He was justified and vindicated in the Holy Spirit. And as you remember, maybe you haven't read it, but those of you who have, remember that when John the Baptist, he was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and he is the one who baptized Christ. And when he baptized Christ, the Holy Spirit came down and spoke. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Follow him or listen to him. I don't have that up in front of me right now. It's similar to that. But I know he did say, this is my Son, and I am well, in him whom I am well pleased. He was seen by angels. He was preached among the nations. And he was believed on in the world. After all that he'd done, all the works he did, you know, like healing the sick, raising the dead, making the lame to walk, the deaf to talk, the deaf mute to talk, you know, open blinded eyes. He did all those miracles when he was on this earth. He did. And the angels knew who he were. The demons knew who he were, who he was at that time. They knew. Little old man, they did not know. They did not know. And some of them did not want to know. They just wanted him out because he was interfering with their agenda of misleading the people of God, lying to them and making it impossible for them to be saved because they didn't, since they didn't want to be saved or believe on Christ, they didn't want no one else to either. So, but everyone wasn't like that. Some people did believe. They did believe on in the world. And he suffered. He lived in this world, but he suffered. He was ridiculed. He was spit on. He was beaten. He was stripped of everything on his body. But they could not take away his divinity, his godship. Couldn't take that away. And if they could have, they would have. But that was not in their hands to do. They could not do that. But he was believed on in the world. Many received him and believed and held on to him and what he taught. Just like today, what he taught, what he stood for, was goodness and mercy and grace to everybody. He says, I reign and rule over the just as well as the unjust. So just because you're doing evil and you're getting back at people, you will have your just reward. Just like everybody else is going to have their own reward, we have to go to God personally. It's a personal thing. It's a personal walk. It's a personal belief. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to even believe. You don't have to trust. Right? Okay. But those of us who do, oh my gosh, the confidence and courage and peace that we have within ourselves, you can't match it. You can't even speak to it if you do not believe. You have no idea what it's like to have peace, that inner peace. Within you. You just don't know. You know, and after he was ridiculed and beaten and stripped even the flesh off his body, and he was a spectacle in front of all those who lived back in those days, you know, who do you say that you are, they said. Who do you say that you are? Are you claiming to be a king? Are you the son of God? Don't you know we live in the same type of ridicule today about Christ? People are still asking the same questions after all these thousands of years. There are people that still don't believe. They do not. They do not even want to. They're still asking those same questions. Well, if you are the Son of God, make it rain. Ducks. They did the same thing back there. Back then, thousands of years ago. So man hasn't changed, have they? Nope, they haven't changed. They're still asking God to prove himself. They're still saying, you haven't done enough to prove to me that you're real. I need you to do a little bit more. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. God himself has not done enough for mankind to believe that he is. And the scripture says, you know, those who worship God, believe in God, must worship him in spirit and in truth. Because he is a spirit. You can't see him. You can't touch him. But he exists. And you must believe that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. Those who believe and know that he is real and they continue to seek him each and every day. They seek him. They need that peace. They need that confirmation that, hey, someone gets me. Someone knows me. My inside, my outside, my ups, my downs, my sins. Also my forgiveness. And my readiness to surrender my all, my heart, my mind, my will, and my life, and my emotions to him. He understands. He knows, right? Thank God. Thank you, Jesus, that you know. That you know me. That you love me enough to choose me as one fortunate enough to know you. Because it says, you know, if you don't know him, he hasn't revealed himself to you. So I consider myself as knowing him and also that he has revealed himself to me. Without a shadow of a doubt, I believe that. He is real. I know that. I know that without controversy. Without controversy, I know that. And I know many of you who are listening to me know the same. You know that. He is real and he exists. And he takes care of you, and he comforts you, and he gives you peace, that inner peace that no man or the world can give you. That inner peace, that inner self, where we're confident in. But our confidence is not in ourselves. Our confidence is in him. That's where our confidence is, in him. Where we live and move and have our being. So that's what the inner peace is. You know, we live in him. We move in him. And with him. And by him. And we have our being, which is who we are in him. In Christ. Wow, I'm so encouraged today. I had no idea I was going to come in on this vein. But God has his way of doing things the way he wants to. I'm open to him. I probably wouldn't be on this air if it wasn't for him. And I thank him for it. I thank him for the platform to encourage people to realize and look at what is real right before you, that God is real. He is real. He is real. And he is in control. And all, some of these things that are, I put it like this, what's going on in the earth today that gives us anxiety, that we all don't agree with, and some things we do agree with, he is allowing these things to happen. He wants people to turn to him. Come back to me. I'll give you peace. Yeah, come back to me. I'll give you peace. Just come back. You can't handle the things of the world. Well, come to me. I have peace for you that no man can give you. Yeah. Come to me, he says. Those of you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I said I was going to look up moral courage, which was part of that thought for today. Okay. And it says, moral courage is the willingness to speak up and take action for what is right, even in the face of fear, opposition, and personal risk. It involves standing against injustice, prejudice, and unethical behavior despite potential consequences such as criticism, rejection, or loss of status. Unlike physical courage, which is about facing physical danger, moral courage is about facing social or emotional risk to uphold values of fairness, integrity, and justice. Oh, wow, I didn't know this was on here, but it says, why is moral courage important in DEI? Let's see what that says. Addressing moral courage is essential in DEI because change often requires individuals to challenge deeply ingrained systems of equality. Speaking out against discriminatory practices, questioning biased decisions, or calling attention to microaggressions all demand courage. Without individuals willing to act with moral courage, systemic inequities may persist unchallenged. Moral courage ensures that DEI is not reduced to slogans or surface-level policies, but is lived out in practice. It empowers individuals to intervene when they see exclusion, to advocate for underrepresented groups, and to uphold ethical principles, even when it is uncomfortable. Okay, then they have, in conclusion, moral courage is the strength to uphold justice and integrity, even when it comes with personal risk. Within DEI, moral courage is indispensable for challenging discrimination, promoting fairness, and ensuring that inclusion is more than words on paper. By cultivating moral courage, organizations and communities can create environments where equity is actively defended and every individual feels empowered to do what is right. Moral courage was part of our thought for today. Yeah, let me get that up again. Thought for today. Thought for today. For some reason, it went to my spam, I think. It's called a spiritual change skill. Right. And that's where I got that. moral courage. Okay, well, we're coming to the close of the show. I pray that I did say something to encourage you. I think I encouraged myself. There's nothing wrong with that, right? Being encouraging yourself in the Lord. And in the times that we live in, they are challenging, I can say the least. I don't consider myself a leftist or a rightist. I consider myself either way. I consider myself straight down the middle. I can see both sides. I see myself straight down the middle. You know, because I believe that God wants us to walk on a straight and narrow path, and not on the wide road which leads to destruction, but on that narrow path that leads to righteousness. And that's where I want to stay, on that straight and narrow road where there are only few people. And I try to encourage other people to come on this straight and narrow road. You know, we can't change the things of the world, but we can be changed by the things of the world. And we have to be careful which way the things of the world change us. You know, we can't be all gung-ho to the right, all gung-ho to the left. We need to walk straight down the middle and looking for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to lead us and guide us straight to Him. Straight to Him. You know, like people say, oh, I'm going to heaven. Well, you know what? I'm going to stay on the straight and narrow, because I know that's where that straight and narrow road leads to, is being with God forever in peace and in love. And I want to stay on that road. I want to encourage you who are listening, if you're not on that road, to get on that road. If you're on that road, hey, stay on that road. That's my encouragement to each and every one of you today. I have a love for people. I don't care what they look like, how tall they are, how short they are. You know, I just have a love for people. And I thank God for giving me a love for people, because I can relate. You know, I'm a very observant person. So I, that's why it's easy for me to relate to other people, whether they're on the left or whether they're on the right, or whether they're straight down the middle, you know. Because we are, God said, out of one blood I made all mankind out of one blood. So no one's better than the other. We're all in this together. I'm just saying, get on that straight and narrow road. At this time, this show is over. Come back at 11:15 to the top of the hour, 12 noon. My guest will be, can't even think of his name, that's so sad. Fred Malone. Yes, he's the chairman of the Marion County Historical Society. He will be here. Thank you. Be safe this weekend. God bless. If you can't, come back at 11:15. Till next time, I'll see you again. Lord bless. Be safe. And God bless. Thank you.
You're listening.